Well, we're looking at a very challenging week. We go to Columbia in a hostile atmosphere and play a top 10 ranked, or in the top 10 ranked team, whether it's 5 or 6 right now. So we've got plenty of work to do, and that's probably good after the Georgia game to get our mind off of that one and just move on and try to get ready for the Gamecocks and look at it as a tremendous challenge and something we can sink our teeth into.
Bobby, you know, South Carolina has sort of kind of gotten where everybody figured they would, you know, eventually when Coach Spurrier arrived. Just, have they arrived yet, or how do you see it?
They're pretty good. I mean, they're beating people. That's the only way you can say they've arrived or haven't arrived. I mean, they're 6-1, and that's arrived in my book. But they were pretty good. You know, they've been good for about the last 6 or 7 years, I think. Had some good athletes, and Coach Holt's had some good years, and you know, they built on that, and you know, they've got some good players.
Where's the quarterback position in your mind right now? Who did, when you look at the guys from the game Saturday, what did you like and what didn't you like?
Well, I think we got 2 good quarterbacks, and we're going to continue to use them, and you know, we'll look at it game plan-wise. You know, everybody makes mistakes in games. Everybody does good things in the game. So, you know, we feel like we got 2 good players, and we're going to not hesitate to use either one.
You spent so much of your life in the state of South Carolina. What is
it
like? What's
just to play a football game, or go on vacation, or what? You know, I see family every once in a while. I want to go down on vacation and Christmas, but you know, going back for a football game is really just business, and you got to keep it that way. And you know, I'll see some family a little bit maybe Friday night when they come by the motel to see us, but. You know, it's basically trying to win a football game in a tough environment, great environment. You know, I think our players would be excited about playing in Williams-Brice Stadium, and you know, I know I will be. You know, but I'm excited about going to Auburn and Florida, and you know, everywhere we go. So it's just that same SEC atmosphere that you get just about every week, and you know, makes you glad to be in this league until you have to actually play against them.
Well, the fact that you guys named McKenzie the offensive player of the week in this past game, does that give him any kind of leg up in terms of playing time?
It means McKenzie played well, yes.
Playing off what you were talking about just before that, is that one of the benefits of playing in a conference as tough as this? Is that tough loss, George? You have to refocus because you've got a gauntlet of a run coming?
You better refocused. And yeah, you're right, you have to. Or you know, you're going to be at a big, big disadvantage if you had that close loss hangover. You know, it's just, it'll kill you the next game too. So you try to learn what you can improve on and do better, and go ahead and start working on that, and then you start working on the other team, and you know, that previous game just sort of fades away.
Coach, do you see DJ Moore fitting into the offensive game plan this week?
He's going to be quarterback this week. Oh, God. God. Shouldn't have done that. They're going to be mad at me in the offensive game plan room. DJ May, you know, May, is just, you know, what you have to be careful is, DJ plays a whole lot of plays on defense. He runs back kicks. He covers kickoffs. You know, you just got to be careful that you don't overuse him and make him less effective in other areas. So, you know, but he's certainly an exciting player, and you know, we'll reserve that right to use him.
Coach, do you see his role on offense expanding any to? You know, maybe running
Well, could possibly, but you know, we haven't got that deep into any kind of game plan yet. It's just Monday.
Coach, Jared Hawkins is really giving you much to lift. Can you talk about why he's, you know, why he's been so effective?
Well, I think Jared has improved his body over the summer, and has gotten stouter and stronger, and he's improved his pass protection, and He can run inside and he catches the ball well. So he's overall, you know, very good player. And he had a good game. You know, probably, you know, I think all three of them were close. Kaysen probably had a few more plays than Jeff and Jared, but Jared's going to get his opportunities.
Is he the most explosive of those three
guys? Well, yeah, possibly. I mean, it's close between he and Kaysen. Kaysen's a lot faster than you think he is, because Kaysen's bigger than Jared. But you know, we feel good about, you know, having three tailbacks and get in there and share the load and keep them fresh, and all three of them can do everything in the offense now that we require them to do, which includes catching the ball, includes pass protection.
Jonathan Goff has had a few, I guess you could say, off weeks in terms of the stat sheet for him to get 14 tackles against Georgia, sort of being back to be the leader of that defense.
John had a good game, and, you know, John's probably spoiled us all, you know, over the years, that you expect him to have that kind of game every game. And, you know, but it's good to see him back in his old ways. He was flying to the ball and running through blockers and making good plays. He had a sack, tackle for a loss, I think. I mean, he had overall great game.
Where does he rank just in linebackers you've coached?
I'd put him right at the top. You know, coached at Furman for a number of years, and we had some pretty active linebackers. And then one year at Clemson, we had some pretty stout, active linebackers too. So, and we've had some great ones here, you know, since I've gotten here. So, you know, John's just a complete package kind of guy. I mean, he's easy to coach. Learns extremely well, great student, great leader. You couldn't ask for any more if you want to put one together. You want to build a linebacker.
How would you compare him to, say, Hunter Hillenbaum?
Well, we had Hunter for 1 year, and we'd moved Hunter from outside into the middle for 1 year, and I think if, you know, we'd have had him for 3 years, NCAA might have got mad at us, but if we'd have had him for 3 years, you know, it would have been wonderful to see him develop as a middle linebacker in our system. I think he'd have been fantastic, and he was that 1 year. So, you know, very similar. You're each one big, can run, smart.
Would you think John has kind of been lined for a similar type NFL career?
Well, I hope so. You know, John, you know, that's going to be up to the NFL. I don't advise anybody on the draft picks. But he's a great young man. You know, he'd be an asset to any team, but I think.
Coach, as you look forward to this afternoon, you talk a little about Chris Snelly, pretty young redshirt freshman. I think you're mature on your job.
He really is. You know, you have to take your hat off to him. You know, that's a tough job for a redshirt freshman. He seems to handle everything extremely well. You know, they're very efficient on offense. You know, by I mean efficient, I mean they win the game. And they do what they have to do on offense. And, you know, he's got some good help. He's got some good receivers. And, you know, I'm really impressed with the running backs at South Carolina. I think that's a big help to him. And they make some big plays for their offense.
Was Sean's catch more impressive when
we got it? Well, it was more impressive to me because I couldn't see down the sideline down there. You know, I have the worst seat in the house, and I couldn't see exactly where his feet were, if he had possession or whatever. But everybody in the box was saying, "Oh, he caught it." You know, they're going to give us a touchdown for that, and that was good to have instant replay. And glad they got it right. And you know, because that was a spectacular catch, and if he'd caught it and not got credit for it, that would have been bad.
Coach, you all out rushed Georgia this past weekend, but expect that those yards came from maybe some non-traditional positions. Do you have any concerns about your running game right now?
Rushing yards are rushing yards. That means you're eating up the clock and you're gaining yards, and you're not putting the ball in the air for it to be intercepted, or you're not putting your quarterback back there to possibly have him sacked. So you got to have them. I don't care how you get them, whether it be from wide receivers running the football or the quarterback running the football. It also requires that the defense honors your rush game, and you know, hopefully that'll open up our passing game a little bit. And I think when you throw the option in there with a little bit of that, it gives the next team some preparation problems if they haven't seen the option very much. So I think it's all good.
Halfway through the season, exactly, Bobby, what's been the biggest surprise that you've seen out of your team, or do you think it's maybe that you weren't expecting, or surprising developments?
I'm with them a lot, you know, so I don't think I would be surprised by anything. You know, I'm with them every day, and was with them during the spring and the summer. I think the surprising thing is the season, you know, overall. You know, you see all the games on TV and how one team plays well one week and then may not play well the next week, or somebody steps up and beats a team that looked like they were unbeatable the week before. That's the biggest thing I see this year, which makes it an intriguing sport. I mean, that's why it's so popular.
I feel like you guys are in good health. You should help wise.
Sure. Yeah, we're very fortunate right now. You know, knock on some wood, because that's a week to week thing, play to play thing. I mean, you could be in a trouble situation with one position after one play if things go badly. So we'll just keep our fingers crossed on that.
Coach, as you look at the tape from the South Carolina last week against North Carolina, why was North Carolina able to come back so strong?
Well, I don't know. We've got several games on South Carolina, and to tell you the truth, I'm not down to the North Carolina game yet. So I like to try to get them in order and go that way, and just haven't studied. I've watched it quickly, but I haven't studied it. Sure have. Stephen Stone's a good player for us. He got a good body, but he's very mobile for his size. And Stephen uses great technique. And, you just know he's going to be in the right spot at the right time and trying his very best to do what we taught him to do. And we've had a lot of success over the years with players like that. I really appreciate those kind of players. And it's not that Stephen's not a good athlete. I mean, he can run, and but he combines it with smart play. And that's to me, that's the ideal combination.
His numbers are a little ahead of Curtis's. Is he benefiting from having Curtis over there at that other side?
I would believe so, yeah. Yeah, I haven't charted that or, put that as one of my projects to look at, but I would guess that would be an outcome of, having a guy who draws a lot of attention on the other side. And Broderick Stewart, I think, same thing. I mean, he's probably benefited, and Broderick has played well and has played physical. I've been proud of Broderick. He's played physical, even though he's not a heavy guy. He's tall and uses his leverage well.
Have you noticed people scheme a little more Curtis this year?
I haven't noticed anything normally, abnormally. But, Curtis does his job. He plays hard.
You talked a few minutes ago about how fun it's been to be a part of Commonwealth Hall of Parity. Do you enjoy seeing non-traditional power teams in the BCS, at South Florida, the Kentucky's, Arizona States, those type teams that people probably told coaching staff, so you're probably not going to be able to be successful. Do you enjoy seeing success in those
I don't know if I enjoy it. It's very interesting. I think it shows that the game has changed a little bit, and the talent is spread out. I think the fact that the way we play the game has changed a little bit gives teams a chance to compete, against the bigger, stronger teams that they used to not have, and speed is more of a factor now. So it's all kind of ways to win now. You see teams traditionally, have the great running games and the big lines, and then you see a team spread somebody out and beat one of those teams because they were quicker or faster or put them in a tough situation. So I think it's intriguing to watch games play out and see who's doing what.
Coach, can you talk about the spread and how it has kind of become the great equalizer, maybe like the wing tee or the Lufkin's Houston in high school, that kind of thing?
Well, you've had great equalizers over the years. You had the wing tee, you had the wishbone, all those things, and I think, it'll take a while to catch up with it, just like it did all those other offenses. But when you do get the spread out and put people in space, they have to perform, and you find the weakest link, and then you go against that. And I think it helps people from getting ganged up on. You just can't gang up on one area and shut people down anymore. You gotta play run defense. You gotta play pass defense. And, and this is not a knock on officials, but this is the way the game is called now. You're allowed to hold. And I'm talking about legal holding. You get your hands inside, that's, and hold on the guys, that's legal holding. So you can imagine those big guys that used to just, have to do that all the time. And, you're blocking on a 280-pound lineman like this, you're not going to have a very good chance of success. Now, you grab him in here, just levels the playing field a little bit.
What type of talent level, I guess, the spread kind of helps you mask some shortcomings, I think, to some extent. Is that accurate?
Well, I don't know. You could mask some, you could also expose some. I mean, if you spread them out and you can't protect the quarterback, you're going to have a hurt quarterback. So, like I said, it'll be interesting to see what defenses evolve to over the years and try to stop this. And, that's, again, what makes it so interesting.
From a defensive standpoint, as you scout other teams, do most teams have some aspect of a spread in their offensive packets that you come across?
Yeah, just about everybody, puts the quarterback back there with one back and, runs the zone scheme and makes you aware that the quarterback could possibly keep it and go out there. Even quarterbacks who aren't overly mobile, it's still a threat, because you can get, 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 yards of key first down doing that, so you always have to prepare for it.
Bobby, when you've seen some teams around the country have a lot of success using two quarterbacks where teams used to not do that so much, does that encourage you guys a little bit more, maybe that will work for you?
Well, y'all just intrigued by that quarterback thing, aren't you?
Just because, I guess it's unusual to see people, used to not see it, now teams are throwing quarterbacks in and out.
I don't know. You look back, Coach Spurry, I think, used 3 of them some years, and,
But he never liked a quarterback.
Well,
isn't he particularly being really hard on him?
Well, I don't know if he's hard on me. He's demanding. And, I think that's a good way to be. It's an important position, and, you demand a lot out of them. If they're not doing it, put somebody else in there. And I think that's the way it is with every position. If I have a quarterback who can do everything, we want him to do it.
First, talking about Steve Spurrier and so successful with Steve for so long, how are his teams so difficult to prepare for?
Well, they make you defend everything on, you know, against their offense. You know, they're going to be able to run the ball, and that's what, you know, I think so impressive about their team right now, that their running backs are really good and put a lot of pressure on you. And, you know, if you pick your own poison, you know, you play the run or you play the pass, and, you know, Coach Spurrier's good enough to figure out when you're doing each and tries to make you pay for it.
The Georgia game will say maybe when you looked at such a tough schedule coming up, maybe we needed to have maybe 6 wins.
Nah, I don't count schedule that way. We just go, you know, who we're playing this week, and I don't think you pick out Georgia and say we're going to probably beat those guys. You know, you think you can play with them, but I don't know if you pick it out and say that's one of our six. And but that's just me. They're really doing well. Keeps them in the games. You know, you look at statistics, you know, their offense is not very high in the SEC as far as what you would think. But their defense gets the ball to them, and they take care of it, and somehow they get the ball in the end zone, and they get enough points to win. So that's what I'm saying. Their offense is very efficient. You know, they don't hurt themselves. When they have to make plays, they make plays. You look at the Kentucky game at the end of the game, they kept the ball and didn't give Kentucky a chance to win. And, you know, they just are, like I say, efficient.
As you said, holding on to the football and avoiding turnovers is
definitely
one of the biggest keys.
Sure. You know, turnovers killed us against Georgia. You know, we had the ball on the 10-yard line, first and 10. Less than 3 minutes or less than 2 minutes, I forget what it was. You know, we got an excellent chance to win that game, and we turn it over right there. So,
do you look at fumbles differently? It wasn't, because it looked like to me like he lost the ball when he was just making that athletic move to get his feet down to get more yardage.
Oh, he was running hard, and you know, that's one thing. After last year, a couple times we felt like we had to be more aware of where we are trying to make a first down, and he attacked, which I think was a good thing. And he actually didn't lose the ball on the hit. It was after he actually ran over the guy, kept going, and then a guy coming by him reached through there and just ripped it out. And so it wasn't a contact. And, you know, we're not going to worry about fumbles. I know Coach Carter teaches our guys the correct way to carry the ball, and if they carry it that way, we're not going to be a fumbling prone team. So I don't think any team's ever gone through the season without fumbling. I don't know. Somebody might research that and prove me wrong, but they happen.
Coach, I don't know what your turnover numbers are this year relative to last year at this same point, but
with that from last year? Yeah, well, you know, we had some early turnovers last year, and, you know, I think, you know, we had one bad game with interceptions this year, but I think we're just a little bit ahead on the turnover margin. I think we're still ahead. We didn't get any takeaways, you know, last week when we lost 2 fumbles. Plus 2 for the year.
I think the BCS numbers came out last night, the first ones of the season. 5 of 6 SEC East teams are in the top 25. Does this speak further to how tough this division is?
Nah. yeah, I mean, 5 BCS teams, ranked BCS teams in the East is pretty impressive to me. And, you know, but we knew that coming in. And, you know, we still think we can beat any one of those teams when we're playing well, and we plan to play well.
Anybody, any other questions? I know you say you don't really enjoy the NFL product as much, but do you ever find yourself watching what Jay Cutler's doing from time to time and getting a chance to talk to him when he was in town?
Well, yeah, we talked. You know, we're very proud of Jay, and he's done a great job appreciate all he's done. He's already come back and repaid Vanderbilt. You know, he's just what you want. And still don't get to see him play a lot. It'll probably be after the season. And hopefully they're still playing. But we do a lot of work on Sundays. And you just don't sit around and tune in the old NFL game.
Sunday package, huh?
No, we don't. I don't care if my brother was playing. We couldn't watch it. But we're proud of him. And like I say, you know, Jay's, you know, he's the real deal. He's, you know, a great alumni, and, you know, we're proud that he's doing well. Well, he certainly kicked great the other night. I think he averaged 44 yards. Had one inside the 10 that he placed in the corner. We got good hang times, and a couple times he got us out of backed-up positions. And I don't know where the shortest one was, but I think it was 40 yards was the shortest. I'm not sure. But he's starting to get more comfortable with what we're doing with the rugby kick, and we still need to improve on that a little bit. That's a great way to get good protection, and it just puts a little doubt in the return teams. You know, where's the ball going to hit? Are we going to be able to field it? You know, are we going to set up the return over here, or is he going to kick it over here? So we like the process we're going through, and as he gets more comfortable, I think he'll have more games like he did this past week.
The purpose of the rugby kick, you're hoping for the roll, right?
You hope for the roll and the erratic bounces, which footballs are prone to do, and it just takes the return team out of their team, out of their timing, because you just don't know where it's going to go. And, you know, if you can kick it and let it roll 35 yards, that's just as good as kicking it 45 in the air and letting them return it 10 with the danger of returning it 50. So, you know, a lot of people have gone to that. I think it's a good system, and hopefully we can perfect it a little bit better.
One or two more questions. Thank you very much, Coach.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.